welcome to the Nutramedical Report, where, as it says in the series Star Trek, where no man has gone before, and we go with boldness, and we cover subjects that no other show or network would cover or could cover. We bring out information and don't ask you to believe anything. In fact, put on your skepticals, not your you put on your skepticals and watch and listen, and even if you just ask better questions. We're not here to convince you of anything. In fact, if you don't listen, if you don't believe, if you don't even want to put out the effort, well, the consequences are yours. This is truth or consequences time, and the suppression of technology is one of the most serious crimes against the American people, against the people of planet Earth, while they subjugate us to a carbon credit system that's tied in with the World Financial Special Drawing Right, which we're going to have experts back on the program later this week and early next, Webster Griffin Tarpley next week, and Joan Vian and others. And this is important you understand what's really happening here, and to explain the latest in the series of ongoing crime suppressions and murders is Ken Rasmussen. Ken, tell us the latest of what's happening, what technologies are available, and what crimes have been done to those who try to bring out these technologies, both financial, physical, and even not only threats, but deaths of those, just like the disappearing biologists, the disappearing energy technologists as well.
Yeah, good afternoon, Dr. Deagle, and thanks so much for giving me the opportunity to report on these items. Anybody who's heard me in the past or who knows me personally is going to sense there's a different tone of my voice today. That's because I was run off the road just a couple of weeks ago. I don't know if it was an intentional hit or what. It's not so much a secret that I have to drive through the Mojave Desert a lot, and I was traveling on a two-lane road through a very hilly area, and as I was approaching an upcoming hill, a little black Volkswagen comes over the hill, and he was in the proper lane as he came over the crest, and then suddenly started swerving into my lane. Now, both of us are going 65 miles an hour. We're coming at each other at 130-mile-an-hour space. As I'll go into in a minute, I've been a test car driver for a large Japanese firm, so I've been trained in high-speed maneuvers.
And so right, and evasive God, procedures.
I was able to get over onto the shoulder fast enough, but as we both passed, that car was three-quarters of a vehicle width in my lane as we both passed doing over 60 miles an hour.
Yeah, you would have been dead instantly, in other words.
Yeah, well, all right. I kind of take pride of myself in being able to handle situations sort of like that. It's just that when you have to act that fast and you suddenly find yourself in loose gravel going sideways, it's a little difficult to control a vehicle.
Unless you've got extra training. You had skill sets, so you didn't end up tumbling head over heels and then trashing your car and probably having a serious spinal injury or crushed inside the vehicle.
So I did keep it out of a roll. Thank God there were no other vehicles behind that one. But I did kind of swerve into the oncoming lane as I came back onto the pavement. But here's the other spooky thing. So as I said, I was just approaching this hill. That incident happened. All right, I finally get back control of my vehicle. I'm back in my lane. And as I come over the crest of the hill, what do I see but a helicopter painted in camo flying about 200 feet off the pavement? It was hailing the car that just ran me off the road.
Really?
Now, this is the Mojave Desert, and yes, I know Edwards, China Lakes, Irwin's, they're always flying test vehicles up here. You never know what the military is doing. I just think it was a little strange coincidence that that vehicle would be tailed by a military helicopter less than a quarter mile away right after running me off the road.
Right. Well, of course, you know your website, commutingfaster.com, pulls together information from all kinds of sources that shows that there is a concerted, not a theory, but a conspiracy reality to suppress technologies. And it's like Gerald Celente said, unless we have something equivalent to the discovery of fire, which means all these suppressed technologies, this depression is going to kill a huge chunk of the human population.
Yeah.
And it's all designed by that. I mean, there's no need for us to have food shortages or talk about carrying capacities or the foolish programs they have in the History Channel like Life Beyond People. There's no such thing as Life Beyond People. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's ridiculous.
The thing I enjoy about your show is you're willing to confront everything, both the physical as well as the Christian spiritual aspect.
Exactly. Well, they're all connected. And there's only, as Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach said himself, that I am the way, the truth, and life. What he's saying is there's no such one truth and another truth, the spiritual truth or technical truth. They're all one. And if you don't understand the darkness of the corporate people, this is not just greed. This is not just corporate greed. This is a desire and a to have megadeaths occur to the population of Earth. And this is the technical side of the eugenics of the planet Earth.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to belabor that issue much further other than it's a spiritual warfare out there, and whether it was an intentional hit against me or whether it was just some demon distracted a passing tourist driving down the same road, it could have been that too, just a strange coincidence.
Doesn't matter.
The military chopper was that close to it.
Yeah, just a little too coincidental, but yeah. It's just like today. I mean, I'm going on the air whenever I get a controversial topic or they know I'm going to put it up. They tear my internet down. Not only my internet, all my phones. Luckily, my ISDN link is an AT&T secure hardened line, so they've never taken that down. But it's regular that my internet goes down. But luckily, I got everything posted up, including the links behind my secure servers in Florida and Atlanta mirrored. And they're not going to be taken down because they're super firewalled and encrypted. So,
yeah. Well, you opened with the comment that suppressing energy is really an attack against humanity. A fellow with a real good website I like is Standeo at standeo.com. Last week, he posted just a cluster of headlines showing all the water crises around the planet, of shortages here, droughts there, and whatever. And we know there's political control aspects, too. But good grief, here in California, claiming to have a drought, we've got the Pacific Ocean there.
Exactly. We could have water desalination. Not only that, let's put it this way. If we can put a pipeline through British Columbia, have you ever gone out to BC? Have you ever been through there?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Well, I did not only training in Vancouver, but I also did locums in the BC interior. That place is crazy. You could drop Texas in British Columbia and you wouldn't find it. And so when you have the look at these issues, there's absolutely no excuse for talking about why not we even have high-speed water distribution pipelines across all across the country. There's just no excuse for it. I mean, Why didn't they plan for this? Why do they then say, well, we're going to bring you toilet-to-tap water and say, have a nice glass of toilet-to-tap water? That's not right. To have little girls and boys drinking this when it's going to destroy their sexuality, their genetics, the human race, to have people think that they can drink this water and it'll be safe. I mean, I remember people going through chemotherapy because rather than giving this technology so that people in places like Africa that would have massive resources to be able to feed their people and modernize transportation and bring peace to a country that's literally in flames of war. No, they don't want that. They don't want to deal with that. They'll focus on carbon dioxide where they have no focus whatsoever on pollution from burning trash in the third world or using dirty coal. No, they're not interested in that. They want to focus on carbon dioxide because then they can literally justify reducing the population of the Earth. And it comes down to literally, as Gerald Celente says, the discovery of fire, which they're suppressing.
Yeah. The Bible says be angry and sin not.
Right. Yeah, you got to be angry. If you're not angry, by the way, I believe if people don't have a righteous rage over this, they're as guilty as the perpetrators of the crime. So those people who won't discuss this, who won't face the music that we don't have, we have things on our cars purposely to make sure that they don't get good mileage. We have purposeful suppression of plasma fuel injector technology and lots of other technologies so that we will remain enslaved to the oligarchy, the people that own the Prudhoe Bay oil refineries and others that want to keep us slaves to their system. We'll be back in a moment with more from Ken Rasmussen. Stay tuned. You're going to hear things you're not going to hear anywhere else.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Nutramedical Report, and we need your help to get on local stations. If you check out Nutramedical or Clay and Iron, and by the way, every day we post that most of the news is on Clay and Iron. Visit there, get our DVDs and support us. We need your donations. We need you to call the local independent stations and get them to pick up all or part of the Nutramedical Report Clay and Iron show. And by the way, it's all free. We put it up there free for your usage. We do all these software upgrades. It costs just to put it on the air, let alone our blood, sweat, tears, and the danger to us, five figures per month just to get our program on the air. And we want to expand that. but without the numbers of the public becoming aware of the real issues that we discuss in this show, that no other show or no other network will go into it deeply or into the facts than the Nutramedical Report Clay and Iron Show. Whether it's health or anti-aging, energy technologies, or any issue that we touch, you'll see that we carry it all the way down the rabbit hole. Ken, let's touch on these two technologies you talked about and some serious interference by corporations and government on suppressing energy technologies. Very serious, indictable offenses, I believe.
Okay, I'm going to be naming names today.
And do it.
Just so people who are not familiar with me, I better explain who I am. I'm not just a crazy lunatic who lives in the desert and regurgitate conspiracy theories.
Right.
I worked 11 years inside Lockheed Skunk Works in both metals and advanced composites. I was a certified technician on a lot of different things there. I operated million-dollar equipment that if it was ever operated improperly, it could have killed somebody within a half a block radius.
Right, and you even worked on the SR-70 Blackbird as well, right?
I made repair parts for the SR-71, the 117, and a whole bunch of other stuff I can't even talk about.
Right, it's classified space technology, which, by the way, most of the so-called UFOs are actually, I call them my IFOs, they're identified flying objects because they're ours.
Military guy boast to me that, our military stuff is 20 years advanced over anything the public has. And I said, well, you know where the military buys that from? Guess who made it for him? Yeah, it's us and the Skunk Works.
Right.
So that's my aerospace background. I was also a licensed stockbroker for 6 years, 4 years of the company specialized in initial public offerings, and 2 years of the company that managed some of the largest 401ks for the big unions in Hollywood. So I have a securities background as well as a brief stint. I was a test car driver for one of the largest auto companies out of Japan.
Which is why you're still alive.
I happen to have a test facility here in Southern California, so I drove test cars for a year.
Yeah,
so
you've got an amazing background, Ken.
and
you're still breathing.
I've got a background from both aerospace, automotive, and securities industry. So that's why I've got a little bit of a qualification here to make some remarks. I have to bring up qualifications because there's a bonehead on the internet that I'm not going to give the credit of mentioning his name, but he boasts about being, he's an engineer, and he knows everything about electrical engineering. The bonehead can't even read a schematic, and I just found proof of that.
Yeah, I know. I do the same thing. I don't.
People who claim credentials that are worthless.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel the same righteous anger, and I agree with you, Ken. When I hear people want to attack my credentials, my ethics, my background, and the horrors that I've gone through, they have not even a tenth of the idea of the danger that you and I have gone through. Literally, physical danger, our careers in danger, our families in danger, all every day, every waking moment by these monsters, because this is not a theory what we're into. This is a everyday danger. Okay.
I make absolutely no claim of any academic credentials. I am not an engineer. I want to state that up front. I am not an engineer, but I have been a certified technician. Now, what's the difference? An engineer knows an awful lot about theory, and he can boil theory down into a blueprint. Okay, it's the technician that takes the blueprint and makes the actual part. And it's also the technician who knows how to connect the stuff.
Yeah.
So that's the difference between an engineer and a technician.
Right.
So here's the situation I'm going to go into. NBC, the National Biscuit Company, did a hit piece against Dutchman and United Community Services a few months ago, trying to claim that the HAFC is a fraud. Well, if you've been listening to Dr. Deagle, I've been on promoting the HAFC for a while. Oh,
yeah.
I've got a few things I want to remark here about that NBC hit piece done by Dateline. That was pure lie from square one. NBC committed fraud with that broadcast. They broke federal law with that broadcast. Somebody's going down over that. They used footage that was obtained under an NDA, and then they broadcast it on network television. All fraud. Now, let me point out one of the key points that they said is, they bought a Honda, they had it converted by one of Dutchman's technicians, and boy, when we tested it, we didn't get anywhere near the mileage that it claims. Well, let's look at the two tests that they did. They did a driving test, and they did a dyno test. Let me first look at the driving test. after Dutchman did the conversion, when they checked it, and when they check it, they have one driver that goes out, drives 25 miles down the road, 25 miles back, refills the tank, and calculates what your gas mileage is. That's a simple math calculation anybody can do. We've all calculated the mileage on our vehicle. You divide the mileage and the gallons consumed together, and you come up with miles per gallon. Real simple formula. Apparently, NBC doesn't think they're intelligent. Their audience is intelligent enough to do the math, because the people who were there when NBC did the driving test said their cameras caught what the odometer reading was, and their cameras also photographed what the gas pump said when they filled the tank. Did NBC show that? No, they did not. If they had, it would have said what? It would have said that vehicle got 59 miles per gallon. What was it? It was a 2008 Honda Accord. Now, I just happen to have driven a lot of Accords. Guys, I'm a test car driver. No Honda Accord has ever gotten 59 miles to a gallon. Now, let me tell you one other thing. When they drove that test, who was in the car? Not just the Dutchman driver, also the reporter from Dateline, Chris Hansen, and his cameraman, and the sound man, and the producer. There were five full-grown adults in that car, and it still got 59 miles to a gallon.
Right. Now, that's important, and people need to understand the reason why there's rage in your voice is millions of Americans are going to lose their job. A lot of people are already starving to death in America. The third world, because our country makes, with our very efficient food industry, the staple foods for 100 countries. So if you tear down America, if you don't allow this, quote, discovery of fire, as Gerald Celente says, if you don't release this technology while they're pushing us toward a carbon debt unit, then we're going to have massive starvation on a biblical scale and massive depopulation caused by this evil. You got to connect the dots, people. This is much worse than even looking at the Trans-Texas Corridor and all the other things, which are very evil. But this is the ultimate reason why we're about to crash and burn, because we don't face the fact that they're purposely suppressing the energy technology.
Okay, now let me explain the second bit of fraud they did on the mileage test. They claimed, oh, we took it to a certified laboratory, and they ran a dynamometer test on it, and the dynamometer test said that there was no difference between the HAFC being switched in and the HAFC being switched out. They said, we got the exact same reading. Here we go. The difference between an engineer and a technician who knows how to connect things. Now, let me explain something about connecting a dynamometer. For standard smog tests here in any state, they simply plug into the OBD2 connector, which is usually under the driver's seat. Sometimes it's under the passenger seat. Anybody driving cars since the late 90s, you've got that under one of your front seats. Go take a look at it. It's OBD2. I'll be going into that in a few minutes. OBD2 has been a fraud ever since it was invented. Nevertheless, the connector's there, and that's what your technicians plug into. Get out the schematic. What does that plug connect to? It talks directly to the car's computer.
Keep okay. That thought. We'll be right back, because we're going to open up this can of worms. We're going to tell the truth, and this can be brought forward in a court of law to prove we've got the evidence and the crimes committed.
You're listening to GCN. Genesis Communication Radio Network.
Welcome back. Please continue. Ken, this is really important. People hang on every syllable of what you're saying, because we're getting to the crux of why 9/11 happened, why the TARP, why the left hand is passing cash to the right hand, to the globalists, why they're getting ready with the world cashless system, and why they're getting ready with using this financial demolition as part of the trashing of the world economy, so most of the people on earth will starve to death and the rest of us will be turned into serfs in a trade zone, 10 zone world controlled by the globalist banksters as they seize control over the levers of power of the planet.
So here's the point I'm leading up to, onto how the connection was done for the NBC dynamometer test that allegedly proved that the HAFC didn't do anything. Well, let me tell you how the HAFC works. And if anybody had enough brains to open a schematic and see, they would know this. But no, they didn't. What they did was they gave it a standard New Jersey smog test. Okay, they plugged into the connector underneath. They didn't do anything else. All right, I contacted a certified smog technician in New Jersey, talked to him myself, and discussed this. He says if you're doing R&D, you never plug into that connector. It's telling you what the computer wants you to know, not what is actually happening. He
exactly.
says you actually get your timing off the distributor. And he went into several other connection things for proper R&D. All NBC did was give it a standard smog test. They did not do an R&D test. And here's the big difference. That car's computer is lying to you from square one.
Right.
And the more advanced we get, the more lies that computer is telling you. Now, Dutchman found that out with the HAFC, and here's how they got the HAFC to work. They go in and they monkey with all the sensors, and they intentionally send false sensing data to the computer. We confuse the computer. That computer now makes some alterations that makes the car work now, but the computer doesn't even know what it's doing. So, if you plug a dynamometer into the computer is going to be giving you false data because it doesn't think anything has changed. The HAFC changes everything.
Right. Yeah, in fact, this is the scam, and this is a crime by the auto industry. And the auto industry, and you have some sidebars on this, dealing with Ford Corporation was supposed to do this and tried to steal the technology of the HAFC, which is to insert hydrogen in the fuel-burning part of the system.
Let me cover Ford real quick. There were some very honest, high-integrity executives inside Ford. Ford purchased 48 HAFC units and put them through their test track tests and everything. Things were looking real good until the Ford family and the Ford Foundation got involved. Ford Foundation is definitely New World Order. I mean, they've been screwing the American sociological system with gay rights and everything. That's another topic. Just the Ford Foundation is pure evil. Okay,
right.
They got involved and everything fell apart.
Right.
No way was Ford going to be putting out high-mileage vehicles for the population because the population is a bunch of idiots, and we're just out there to be screwed. That's the Ford Foundation's attitude, and they have too much stock in Ford. So the few honest executives that were really rooting for us to try to get this modification on Ford products, they got axed and outvoted. So that's what happened with Ford. Now, the technology, the bad news is... critics of Dutchman or whatever managed to this media whore that did an on-camera shot on the Dateline interview, and then he's got crooked politician contacts all over the country,
right?
And he's been creating major havoc for everything that Dennis Lee tries to promote. He now has a buddy, Josh Millard. I'm going to name him. The guy's nothing more than a mafia thug attorney. But he's calling the shots at FTC now. Now, a guy by the name of Kevin Trudeau did a powerful interview with Alex Jones about a month ago.
Oh, yeah, that was an amazing interview, wasn't it?
And he pointed out that FTC now has a track record that any new technology, it could be energy, it could be pharmaceutical. I mean, your home ground, Dr. Deagle.
Nutraceuticals in terms of curing or helping the body heal from disease. They don't want anything out there for the public.
Exactly. So FTC marches in with the full arm of the law. They slap an injunction. Not only on the company, but the personal assets of everybody who runs the company, and suddenly they have no money left for any legal protection. Naturally, they go bankrupt. Well, Dutchman is now bankrupt. So is United Community Services. I can't sell you an HAFC now, thanks to the actions of this one criminal who touts himself as both an engineer and a skeptic. He's nothing more than a thug. And I'll call him that, but I'm not going to mention his name here because I don't want to give him the credibility of even mentioning his name. The point is, he's been suppressing energy technology for years,
right?
And not just Dennis Lee's, but other ones too. So let me get over here. So on the dynamometer test, the fact is, if it had been connected properly, it would have proven very high mileage. But it was not connected properly, and I'm blaming NBC for intentionally making sure it never got connected properly. So that was on that technology. Now I'm going to move over to another one here. Story I reported on last year, and I've got to give him plenty of time here. Pete Sumaruk came up with an observation of electric motors. Ask an engineer who really understands electric motors, and he will explain to you that as the motor turns around, half of the revolution consumes electricity, and the other half is actually generating electricity. It's another way to give an example of this is if you take a little permanent magnet and simply wave it near a coil, the coil will start to produce electricity. The same thing is going on inside an electric motor. Pete found a way how to synchronize that and to utilize all that excess power that was being generated but thrown away, thanks to the lousy design of all electric motors. This is why electric motors get hot when you run them a long time, is because it's working against itself. Well, Pete found out how to properly synchronize the motor so it doesn't work against itself, and it actually starts amplifying current.
Yeah.
He built a system that, I hate using the term because the skeptics come out of the woodwork every time you do, but I'm going to use it. He built a system that at the one system that he built for the U.S. Army was over unity. You set this thing up, and you could have been powering a community of 2,000 or 3,000 people with, like, a 5,000-watt generator.
Yeah, which is like a little Toyota generator
now,
in your backyard.
He demonstrated this for the U.S. Army. The well-meaning good people, the white hats in the U.S. Army, loved it. They thought fantastic. I know somebody else in the Pentagon who was just personally grieved over the fact that he could cite numerous situations of U.S. GIs getting trapped behind enemy lines. They couldn't get fuel to them, and guys have gotten killed just because they couldn't get a gallon of gasoline to start a motor and move.
Exactly, and that's what happened over and over again. A lot of the deaths are not just roadside bombs. It's the lack of our supply lines to get fuel and supplies to our troops.
Yeah. So the thing with Pete was that the Army loved it. They placed an order for it. And then in comes two crooked congressmen, one by the name of Kip Everett, and another, he's a Texas state senator, and the other one is Congressman Michael Edwards, a Democrat from Texas. They come in and stop the contract.
Wow.
So the Army could have had a non-fuel device to run, or at least a current amplifier for such situations, but they wouldn't let it go into our own U.S. Army. Now, here's something I got to be real careful what I say on this, because I can only say a half of what I know.
Yeah, I know. I know that. And I know some of this stuff is going to get a lot of people either in trouble or dead.
But this really ticks me off to learn that somehow or another this technology got acquired by another country. Now, thank God this other country happens to be a U.S. ally. But here's my point, and it's not so much how it got acquired. The point is the fact that it is now being used by another country that once they get into manufacture, their military will never get trapped behind enemy lines without fuel. But we aren't offering that benefit to our own guys. Why not? Because we got two crooked congressmen from Texas. That's why.
Yeah, yeah. And this puts us, by the way, is how they requisition, you know, $1,500 waste paper baskets and charge too much for our own troops overseas to do their laundry through the Carlyle Group and Halliburton Corporation.
Yeah.
We need to talk more about this. And coming up in the last segment, we need to get you back on soon. We're going to have, as I say, one of our contacts through the Pentagon through a pseudonym on Wednesday. As I say, this is Whistleblower Central, people. You're going to hear things here you'll never hear anywhere else except on the Nutramedical Report. We'll be back in a moment. Are we
the GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
Well, Ken, please continue. I know you have a number of issues you want to touch on before we finish today's show. We need to have you back. Let's touch on some of the other great issues you mentioned here and how people can actually get involved with the solution. And then a quick reference to Air Flight 447, a work and research done by Professor Jim McCanney that shows that clearly there was a bomb on that flight and that the retraced debris was over 100 miles. Let's touch on some of the issues before then on this alternative technology and what we can do as solutions to this issue.
Yeah, I'll just spend 30 seconds here on the Air France 447. This is all Jim McCaney's research. This is not mine. I'm just pointing people to it. We're not hearing anything close to the truth in the major media, and I think that's the point that I'm trying to make in all my stories today, is you can't believe anything on television, anything. It's just all lies, and I don't even know the reason for some of these lies. They're absurd. The details that Jim McCaney dug up, Air France 447, right after it lost two-way communications, it turned around and was retracing its flight path, trying to get back to Brazil to land, and it successfully flew another 100 miles, dropping wreckage all along the path, before it completely disintegrated. And the wreckage that it left was not in the path that the water currents would have taken it. That poor plane had a hole blown in its side for some reason. I don't know why, and I don't want to waste any more time on it, other than we are not hearing anything major news on that. The Airbus 330 is an excellent aircraft.
Yeah, and now, the other thing is there were several people on that plane that were doing certain things that were not liked by other parties, were they?
No, somebody was trying to control international arms trades and get it out of the hands of the mafia and such, so they would have been targets. I don't know who else is on the plane. But, again, this is kind of off topic here.
Yeah.
Let me use the Airbus 330. Is that a good plane? Have you ever known anybody who's ever flown on one? They are good aircraft. I happen to know a pilot who has been certified on two Boeing jumbos and two or three Airbus jumbos. He prefers Airbus airplanes. According to a pilot who has flown both, he feels Airbus makes better airplanes than Boeing. That was his opinion.
Yeah.
Now, giving that as a reference, okay, a 330 goes down over the Atlantic. Does that make the Airbus 330 a scam? Absolutely not. But if somebody sabotages it, it will have problems. Now, I'm going to draw that parallel back to OBD2 and the HAFC.
Right.
Did the HAFC work? Was it a legitimate product? Yes. It worked fine on many cars. I can take you directly to one, Honda Civic, that's still getting 85 to a gallon, 75 with air conditioning running. So it did work. There were times it did not work. Now, why did it not work? Was it a bad product? No, it was sabotaged by the car's computer. Now we got to get into OBD2. When did that come along? OBD stands for onboard diagnostics. It sounds like a good idea. It gets you away from the 040. Years ago, you had the spit shine and sunshine mechanic that held his finger to the wind and tuned your car. It got away from that, and now you plug in a high-tech laptop computer, and now the computer does all the tuning for you, and it sounded like a good idea. The trouble is, what have we learned from computerized voting?
Yeah,
in this country,
well, obviously,
same thing is happening with your car.
It's lying
to you. It's not telling you the truth. You cast a vote for Ross Perot, and it shows up for Al Gore.
Yeah, exactly.
The same thing is happening with your stupid car computer. Your car computer is lying to you, people. You have a liar sitting in your driveway you didn't know about. It's been lying to you since you bought the stupid car.
Yeah.
Now, is this rumor that I just picked up from Dennis Lee, old conspiracy theorist Dennis Lee? No, I've got two other cited examples on my website right now. There's a guy in Ohio who converted a mid-90s Mustang. What did he do? He threw away the catalytic converter in the car's computer. He did everything from scratch. Okay, with the same engine that Ford was producing, except now it's tuned right, and he got rid of the stupid catalytic converter, he's now putting out 400 horsepower, and he gets 110 miles to a gallon
right.
on a mid-sized Mustang. Okay, that's example one. Then over in my left column, I've got a reference to another fellow who wrote a very lengthy research column. It was too long for me to read all of it. But he went into more details, just proving that OBD2 has been a scam since square one. Now, who initiated it? It was probably collusion between oil and Detroit. But somehow or another, they paid off some crooked politicians in Washington, got the laws passed. So now every foreign manufacturer has to comply to that. Now, what are some proof of that? The fact that you order a Honda Accord in Australia and a Honda Accord in the United States, and then look at your sticker in the window, and you see the one you just bought in Australia gets better mileage than the one in the U.S. Wonder why that is. It's supposed to be the same car.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, OBD2 has been ripping people off since it started, and I'm shouting this from the rooftop right now. Go to my website for links on the research that I've got against it, but that is a scam. Something has got to be done about that. But right now, you can't sell a car in the United States to drive on U.S. highways that does not have OBD2 on it.
Right.
That's the horrificness of it.
Yeah, you can't get any, you can't get insurance, in other words.
Yeah. All right, let me get back to Pete Sumrock's system.
Right.
Pete is aiming at the people who are hurting the worst, small businesses. If they have to use a lot of electricity in their business, they are really hurting. He told the story, and on my website I have a link to a radio interview that the inventor, Pete Sumrock himself, did last Saturday. Excellent interview. I highly recommend it. It's a little over an hour long. But he gives a reference of a TGI Fridays restaurant up in the San Francisco area back during the Enron scandal, where they were playing the futures options on energy, and electricity cost was jumping up and down like a roller coaster. Their electric bill went from $8,000 or $9,000 a month to $40,000 the next month during that scandal.
Wow.
And they had to shut down. They can't afford electric bills like that. Okay, Pete wants to help small businesses that have big electric bills. So here's my open question to your audience. If you've got a small business that has an electric bill approaching or exceeding $10,000 a month, please contact me. Just go to commutefaster.com. At the bottom of all my web pages, I have my email address there, and then just send me an email and say, hey, I've got a business that's hemorrhaging from electric cost, help me out, and I will get you in touch with Pete. Now, I am another rhetorical question, Dr. Deagle. about a year ago, Aaron Spelling's $45 million mansion was put on the market. Now, if you or I called the realtor who had that listing, do you think they would walk us through there without asking any questions first? Probably not. Real estate agents always pre-qualify their leads.
Right.
I want to do Pete a favor, and I don't want to send him every looky-loo in the U.S. So I am going to ask you to fill out just a little preliminary form with me so that I know who you are before I introduce you to Pete.
Yeah.
But Pete has got an excellent business plan here that can help help small businesses get off the grid. If you're paying $10,000 a month, you need to get off the grid, period. And Pete can enable people to do that. Now, so his system is aimed primarily at the higher electrical consumer users. It's not so much, commercial users. He's not aiming as of yet for the small consumer.
Yeah, but by the way, the grid's not going to survive. And people need to know, it's not just a matter of it being blown by a solar mass ejection, which they expect by 2013. It is the fact that the very first thing they're going to declare when they do martial law in U.S., Canada, and any Western nations, they're going to reach up, pull down that big lever, and the grid's going down because they're going to just turn it off.
Mm-hmm.
The grid's going down, and all the pumps and all the gas stations across the country run on electricity. So there's no fueling, refueling your car. Whatever's in your vehicle is what you've got.
Yeah. And so the last thing here before I run out of time is that's Pete's business model, and he is aiming to help small business. Now, please do not confuse the inventors I'm talking about here. I'm now going to shift gears into a different inventor, Dennis Lee. Dennis Lee has a business model where he also has an electric generator that consumes no fuel, and his business model is he wants to install these on homes, so the homeowner now has no more electric bill. He takes over your connection to the grid, but his little unit pumps out power into the grid around the clock. So that's how he ends up capitalizing his business model. Again, I've been a stockbroker. I've been exposed to a lot of different business models here. I'm trying to be compatible with all of them. I don't want to make enemies here. I have my own preferences, but that's Dennis Lee's. To get Dennis's system, jump to my energy page, go over in the far right column, top is the form. Just fill out the application, and when he's ready to go, he will give you a unit for your home.
Yeah, that's commutefaster.com. Ken, we got to have you back on soon. A lot of information we covered, and we will continue discussing this at future shows where we cover everything from energy, technology suppression, anti-aging and wellness, and other health technologies. The geopolitics of the Orange Revolution they're trying to do in Iran as they demonize and get ready for an attack on not only the Bashar reactor, but up to 3,000 targets. You need to know the truth, people, and the truth will set you free, but a lie will not only bind you, but enslave you. As I say, come out of Babylon and know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We'll be back tomorrow with remarkable shows again with Mike Rivero and Dave Kirby, Evidence of Harm.
It's no secret that Genesis Communications Network depends on listeners like you. Now you can do even more to hear Genesis shows in your area. Simply call your local radio stations and tell them about your favorite GCN programs. It's easy. Log on to GCNlive.com or call us toll free, 877-807-4048. Make a difference. Call your local stations and contact us through affiliate relations at GCNlive.com or call 877-807-4048. Call today.